Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, Broadwasted listeners. Brian here. Just wanted to make you aware that we did record this before social distancing. Additionally, we recorded this before Jennifer was nominated for an Olivier Award for her choreography in Anne Juliet. So congratulations to her. But now you're regularly scheduled Broadwasted.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
And I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and I want it that way. Larger than life, so that you can love me like you do. Since you've been gone, let's give it a try. One more try? For the shape of my heart? I can't stop the feeling, but it's my life, so when I kissed a girl, baby, one more time. Now show me the meaning of being lonely, or show me love. I'm not a girl, not yet a woman, in this overprotective world. It's a teenage dream to be confident, but it's gonna be me. Thinking that that's the way it is. You're stronger, so blow it up. Oops, I did it again. What do you want from me? Joining us today are the usual problem everybody who roar, including Kevin.
Wait, what?
Problem everybody?
The usual problem everybody's who's trying to... Oh, I don't know what I wrote here. Joining us today are the usual problem everybody's who roar, including...
That's definitely what it says.
Yeah. Kevin, fucking perfect Jaeger.
Yes. I will take that.
Yeah.
And also, this intro has gotten me really excited for my old music.
Kimberly, Domino Game Master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Who's Domino? Oh, that's the, what's her name song?
Jessie J.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with us today is a Lortel and Bessie Award nominated director choreographer. Some of her credits include Hip Hop Nutcracker. I just want to say it that way.
How do you say it?
Nutcracker.
Nutcracker?
Yeah, yeah. Choreography for Zombies 2 coming out on Disney Channel this year. K-pop and Anne Juliet in the West End. I practiced that.
Oh, and Anne Juliet?
Yes. Let's give a big Broadwasted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Jennifer Weber. Y'all ready for this? Welcome.
Wow, that was amazing. I really enjoyed that.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. You can follow her at Jennifer Weber NYC, Weber with one B. But let's raise a glass. Thank you so much for joining us. Cheers.
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 Absolutely. So let's just start with what we usually start with. What are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
What are we drinking? I'm having seltzer because I am hardcore.
I am drinking the Tanteo Chipotle tequila.
Me too.
I like that little kick.
I do too.
Did you put anything in it?
No, I'm just drinking it straight.
I have some of the club soda in mine.
Yeah.
I was so weird about putting club soda like in it because it just feels like you're just like watering it down. And it makes me think of, like, when you're little and like your mom like waters down apple juice.
Sure.
I didn't have that, Mom.
Oh, no.
Or I didn't know about
it. I know that's a thing.
I don't know if my mom specifically did that, but like I knew all like mothers who did.
Yeah. You watered down their vodka.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Or we drank their cooking wine, which was always really weird.
Kimberly?
I have the Blanco Tanteo.
Oh, nice.
Because I'm boring. And coconut.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
If you don't like
it's tequila. It's fine.
Well, the Tanteo tequila is good in general.
Yeah.
So
these different varietals are...
Varietals.
Mm, varietals. Oh, my goodness.
Mm, varietals.
With cucumber seltzer.
Oh, lovely.
Yes. Refreshing, I'd say.
Oh, refreshing is a good adjective.
Yeah.
But let's get down to some questions with you.
Sure.
All right.
I thought you
were going
to say down to business to defeat the high.
I thought you were
going to
say get down to the brass tacks.
There are many things we can get down with.
But I appreciate Kimberly's Mulan reference.
The first question is, what's your favorite musical?
Oh, boy, that's like a really tough question.
We start tough.
Yeah.
And then it dissipates from there.
I mean, I grew up on musicals, so
sure.
I there's so many I love. I mean, the first musical I ever saw was Chorus Line, so that has like a really special place in
Did
my heart.
Did you know it's sad?
Did I know it's sad?
I recently just saw it because I hadn't seen it before, and I thought it was like Noises Off, but for like chorus members.
So kind of like funny and farcical.
I thought it was like a farce.
Oh.
And then I saw it and was like, no, this is so sad. Why am I crying through half this show?
I mean, I think it's such a celebration of like the ensemble.
Yeah, Kevin. You know? It's a celebration.
I'm just thinking like when Paul gets hurt and like
spoiler alert.
I'm sorry. I just spoiled the 1970s musical.
Yes.
Have you directed or choreographed the show?
No, not yet. But you know,
we're putting it in the universe.
Maybe one day. The first show you ever saw.
Yeah, yeah.
How old were you?
I was 9. Oh, my mom took me, and I just remember like watching it, and I was like, I'm going to do that one day. And
were your parents theater people?
My parents are major theater people. They are like big theater nerds. So yes. Like I grew up seeing lots of theater, but they're like members at the Public. They'll fly to London to see something really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're they're going for it.
Yeah. Are you from New York?
I've been in New York for a long time, but I actually grew up in Amherst, Massachusetts.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
So is that close enough that you can like take a train in or ride into the city to see shows and stuff?
I mean, for normal people, no, but for my family, yes.
You made it work.
Like, it's just 3.5 hours.
It's fine.
There's an important musical we need to see.
Do you remember the first Broadway show you saw?
That was Chorus Line.
It was Chorus Line.
It was on Broadway.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It was
that was all encompassing.
Yeah,
first Broadway, first show.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so cool.
That's so fun.
Yeah, it was amazing.
What do you take from that show as your favorite? Like, what's something that like, what's either a scene or a theme or something that really sticks with you or influences whatever you do?
I mean, the opening, the audition scene.
Sure.
Like, you know, at the time when I was a little kid, I hadn't started dancing yet. It was actually after that show that I wanted to start dancing.
Sure. Well, a dancer dances.
That's right. I was just, you know, just watching those people just like pour their heart out into movement on stage. It's just, even when I was really little and before anything, I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do.
Now, you choreograph and direct yourself. So
you also choreograph and direct yourself all
I
day,
do, all day long. No, so like specifically looking at that scene, I love to ask choreographers and directors when you're having like a dance call and you're seeing dancers, what is it you're specifically looking for? I mean, I know that's a hard question based on the show, but like,
yeah, of course, that really depends on the project. But I think like, you know, I'm looking for people with that like magic quality, that like special thing that you can't really describe, but like, you know it when you see it.
Yeah.
And it's beyond the steps. Like at a certain level at an audition, everyone can do the steps. Mm-hmm. And you're looking for something
else. Is Beyond
the
Steps going to be the name of your autobiography?
Ooh. Oh my God, I love that.
It's a good name. Will credit you. I'm taking it.
That's really good.
Great.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah,
bookmark that.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And like, I'm really interested in people who are great storytellers through their movement. And I think, you know, that really takes like a special kind of, like a level of mastery of a vocabulary, you know? So I think sometimes when you're having auditions, you see people who are like pretty good at lots of things.
Yeah.
And then you see someone who's like a real master at what it is they do. And I'm always drawn to those masters because I just feel their level of vocabulary is just so high. And that as a choreographer, you want to work with people who have that depth.
So tell the story. You go on. Just tell the story.
Yeah, because I spent my day ordering dance costumes for my dance studio.
So when I was a kid and I started getting really into dance when I was about like 13, 14, and I created a fake dance school called Jennifer's School of Dance. And
I'm so obsessed with this.
And I made fake letterhead. And I wrote to all the dance costume catalog companies requesting the catalog so that I could order the costumes for my imaginary students. But mostly I just wanted to look at the pictures of all the dance costumes.
Were your parents
so
like,
butt.
What the hell are all these catalogs?
So it worked?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They all came to my house. Yeah.
Oh, how did you find their address? Like, did you, wherever you were taking dance, you saw?
I found it in, like, Google. Dance Magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
sure.
Like an ad for, like, Weissman's or Revolution, like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see them all, you know? And then.
Did you ever order any? Or you just wanted to look at the pictures?
No, I just wanted to look at the pictures. And then,
well, you can't order, you do have to, like, weirdly prove that you're a dancer before you can order from them, because you have to get an account.
I only made it to like looking at the catalog.
Right. Yeah.
Like you could look at the catalog of where I order stuff from, but they wouldn't show you the prices unless you were a dance studio.
Sure.
Oh.
Yeah, or like if they were available or not.
Did you like cut them out and like
collage them? Yeah, put them all over my walls.
Yeah.
What was your favorite?
Like this sort of like dance costume version of like a hip hop outfit, like some
those are so they exist.
I mean, now they make me very nauseous, but yeah. Like at the time, I was like, baggy pants and a bra top. Yes.
That's exactly what I'm wearing right now.
And an off-brand Kangol hat.
Yes.
Not included.
Yeah.
Sold separately. Oh, that's amazing.
And then they'd have the boy alternatives.
Yes. They would have like the boy or like the costume that could be worn for like a tap and jazz and ballet.
And a removable skirt and a tutu.
Oh, that's so nuts.
Live your life.
That is so amazing.
Ah, nostalgia.
I'm so obsessed with that. You still do that to this day, right?
Of course. I also order dance costumes all day.
I'll show you all 700 I ordered this morning.
We're in our apartment and it's covered in these weird photos.
It's all it is. Just dance pictures everywhere.
Oh, wait, we didn't use this one. Okay,
that's so good.
That's so funny.
Are there masters or mentors or just people in the public that you really draw from, look up to?
I mean, there's so many people. Like, I think because, you know, my background really comes from hip-hop, and hip-hop is really a culture based on samples. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's a culture that sort of, like, takes, like, little bits of a lot of things.
Yeah.
So,
sure.
You know, I'm just as likely to look at, like, a Missy Elliott music video choreographed by Hi-Hat and be like, that is amazing, mm-hmm. as I am to see, like, you know, like Fosse, like an old musical that Fosse did, and
sure.
be like, that is amazing. And just, you know, I think you can have like as many sources as possible for your inspiration.
Cool.
When you were choreographing a show, do you choreograph on your own body first, or do you work with like a pair of dancers or something to like build it on someone else's body?
It really, really depends on what I'm doing. I like to work with a skeleton crew if I'm working on a really big musical, because like the steps are like such a tiny piece of choreography, and so much, bless you, so
Thank
much
you.
More of it is about like how everything happens on stage, and like you can't do that on yourself.
You can't be like 18 people doing Avengers
as exits. Like he's like filming it, looping it on top.
Right.
Like, yeah, you can't
Which
see
also
how like,
would be cool.
Yeah,
that'd be
fun. Really interesting.
Yeah.
We need to get that choreography technology.
Yeah.
Alone in your living room, you can't tell what 20 people doing like steam heat looks like.
Yeah. And I like to be able to see it. You know, I like to be able to like step out of it. So, you know, I've made so much choreo in my apartment, in my hotel room, in front of like a little mirror, and then somehow it ends up like on the West End.
Yeah. Right.
It's really, really
See, I
wild.
Make up a lot of choreo in my apartment, but it does not end up on the West End.
Yeah, it ends with Kevin in an ER.
It ends up on the West Side Highway.
Oh my God, are you okay?
I know. It's on the highway.
So you talked a little bit about it depends. So
yeah.
I know you've done a lot, dance in a lot of mediums in terms of choreographing it and potentially performing it. I mean, what goes through your head? What strategies do you take when doing a music video versus something on the stage? Kind of how do you approach that?
I mean, for me, it always comes from the story first and the characters. And, like, you know, even if you're working on something that you might not think is, like, story-based, there is always a story, you know?
Yeah.
And just, like, figuring out how those characters move in that environment. So I think the sort of starting process is the same, but, you know, the further you get into the process, the more it starts to really, like, jump further from itself.
Sure. What do you... So let's talk about Anne Juliet.
Sure.
For those of us who don't know what it is, can you go through a little bit about what it is?
Sure. Anne Juliet is a musical in the West End in London, and it's sort of a reimagination of Romeo and Juliet, and it's framed by the idea that Shakespeare and his wife, Anne Hathaway, are having a bit of an argument over how the play Romeo and Juliet should end. And then they sort of create this new narrative for Juliet where she does not commit suicide, and she goes on this fabulous adventure.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a big spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But it's very early in the show. And it's just amazing. And it features the catalog of Max Martin, who's an absolute musical genius and has written tons of the big pop hits over the last like 30 years for people like Britney Spears and NSYNC and Katy Perry and Ariana Grande. Like, it's amazing. He's actually written the most number one songs of anybody other than the Beatles.
That's crazy. Really?
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a, it's like a, it's
so
like,
there's some hits in this show.
Take you, that, Diane Warren.
You know every song.
Do you, so when you're choreographing something like this, when a lot of that choreography for those songs is so etched in our brains from those music videos.
That's a good point.
And even those, like, how do you take from that? How do you make it your own? How do you balance the two of those things? Do you, kind of, what was your approach with probably that looming over kind of the movement?
Yeah, we all practiced Oops, I Did It Again in our bedrooms when we were 12.
Yeah, and like Bye Bye Bye.
Or on the West Side Highway.
Or the West Side Highway.
Either way. Either
not
way.
Recommended.
I mean, you know, some of in Anne Juliet, some of the music is very reimagined and mm-hmm. some of it is not. So part of it is also the music, and it's really looking at the moment in the story and what makes sense. So like the way we do Hit Me Baby One More Time is very reimagined. Whereas we do Backstreet's Back, Everybody, in mm-hmm. a bit of a boy band way. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important in that number to pay tribute to that very iconic choreography. Obviously, without, you know, stealing it. But there is a move that everybody knows is from that. Yeah. And you can't not do it. It's like, yeah. It's part of what it is.
Sure.
So I think, you know, there are moments in the show that have that kind of feel to it, but mm-hmm. most of it feels like very contemporary and very, you know, of today, as opposed to of the era in which, you know, those music videos came out.
Sure.
That's so cool.
Like towing the line of nostalgia versus copycat.
Like I said, hip hop is based in samples.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's all about the sample and coming up with your own spin on it.
And there's been, so there's talk sometimes when a show is on the West End and doing really well there. Like was everybody's talking
about Jamie?
About Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
We're like,
see it so
all
bad.
Of us like
everyone
are so desperate for it to
about.
Come here.
We're all
but
talking about Jamie.
A lot of people have said that it may not come over because it's so British in its sentiment that they're concerned that it won't translate. Do you think that Anne Juliet has that same kind of like British temperament to it?
Or can we have it?
Yeah. Basically, that's what I mean.
I mean, I think we can have it. I, you know, I think these songs are such massive bangers and such huge hits.
Mm-hmm.
It is part of my dream that it will come over here. I cannot tell you what will happen because I just don't know.
Of course. Let's play a game.
Let's
okay.
do it.
Yeah.
All right.
I was thinking about other choreographers we've had on, and then I looked through what games we played with them.
Okay.
And I forgot I had made up a game with Warren Carlyle.
Okay.
Called Dance Around It.
Okay.
So it's a bit like Taboo.
Okay.
In which we use my Lights of Broadway show card deck. You can look at the front or the back and, like, look at everything that's written down and just sort of dance around the hits of their resume.
To try to get us to guess.
To try and get us to guess with as little clues as possible.
Okay.
And so we'll do a hot potato style.
Great.
So basically, one person will get it. We'll try and get everyone to guess. As soon as they have guessed, you give the card to whoever guessed so that they get the point.
Okay.
And then you pass the deck to the next person.
Great.
Yo, comprendo.
Do you want to go first? Why don't you go
first?
Sure.
I never go
you
first.
Know. This is very exciting.
Pressure. Should I do 2 minutes or what?
Now you know what it feels like.
Do 2 minutes. Yeah.
Do 2 minutes because there's more talking.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Well, I just looked at that one the whole time.
Okay.
And I just saw that one as I did that.
Great.
Okay, great. Here we go.
Okay.
Going well.
Let's see.
Okay.
Oh, this one isn't on the card, so I think I can say it.
Yeah.
He was in Amelie. He was in the Fortress
Adam
of
Chandler
Solitude.
Barrett?
Yes.
Yes.
Very well done.
Bam.
Very impressive.
Okay.
Okay, this is a choreographer.
Okay.
He's super dope. he choreographed a show that had a lot of amazing dancing boys in it.
Newsies.
Mm-hmm. Chris Rigatelli?
Yes!
Well done.
I'll take that.
I love his...
He's really good.
Just make boys jump.
This person is a director.
Okay.
And she directed the only musical Marvel outing.
Julie Taymor.
Yes.
Yes. Ooh, all right.
Oh, I don't get to keep that.
No, you don't. All right. This person wrote something that was recently on Broadway and then toured across the country.
Okay.
We just had a guest on who toured with it.
Michael Arden?
No. Oh. The guest was in the tour that we had.
But and this is the director.
No,
of the tour.
This is not the director.
Oh.
This is the writer.
Aaron Flaherty?
No. Okay, that was...
So Brian's out, right?
No, what? No, it's not.
I did say hot potato.
You did.
All right.
Who was it?
It was William Finn.
Oh, Will Finn. Good old Will.
Falsettos
with Eden.
Yeah.
Eden. So Brian's out.
Sure.
And now we do 1 minute.
No, wait, no.
Don't make up
You
rules.
Guys are competitive. It's serious over here.
Very right. competitive. Shoot another round.
Yeah, let's do another round.
Okay, one more and see if we can beat it.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's go.
Okay.
Two men. French names.
Oh, Bouvier and Schomburg.
Yeah, Schomburg and Bouvier.
Yes.
Bubbly.
Bubbly.
Yeah. All right.
They wrote Les Miserables.
Yes.
And Mrs. Saigon.
Yes.
It's aged.
Ms.
No, yeah.
Ms. It's 1992.
Yeah. Hello, Ms. Saigon.
Okay. Okay.
All right. All
right. Okay. Got it. Okay. This guy was the director of Bringing the Noise, Bringing the Funk.
Who directed it? George C. Wolfe?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's impressive. Okay.
Maybe Brian should have been out. Now he's winning.
Okay. This person is a... director, and he directed the 2018 revival of Children of Lesser God that me and Brian saw.
Oh, I love that production, but I don't know who directed
it. He directed the TV adaptation of Raisin in the Sun.
Kenny Leon?
Yes.
Wow.
Well done.
That was hard.
All right, let's get Brian out again.
Another director. He directed a show with cheeseburgers in it. He's a Tony winner.
Escape to Margaritaville.
Yeah, but he's a Tony winner for not that.
Okay.
He's a Tony winner for
Come From Away.
Yes.
What is
wasn't
his name?
That wasn't Chris Catelli.
Chris Ashley.
Chris
yeah,
Ashley.
You got it.
Yes. Oh my god.
Yes.
I do go to theater.
All right, Kimberly. We're doing better already.
Okay.
Oh god.
As she fell over.
No, not the pile of cards. Okay, we're ready for you now. Okay, here we go.
I keep wanting to just read the back of the card.
Great.
That's
called cheating.
Yes. her Tony performance YouTube video from the 80s gets viewed a lot.
Jennifer... Holiday?
Yes.
Well done.
Wow. I don't know how I knew that.
I'm going to pause for a second because I wanted to read it that she was discovered as a dancer in a chorus line.
What?
Read the first
discovered
sentence.
Discovered by dancer Jamie Patterson, who was touring with a chorus line. She was singing with a church choir and then booked her Broadway debut.
All I read was discovered
Listen,
to, for
that
a
would
chorus
be
line.
Amazing.
And I was like, what?
She could have been standing in a line of chorus members. You don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah.
That's so true. Okay.
Dance 10, voice 1,000. Oh my god, have you seen Broadway, The Leading Ladies, that DVD where she sings...
Of course I have.
Where she sings And I'm Telling You, and she has, like, the giant, like, hairpiece that's, like, shaking with her head. Oh, it's so amazing. She's so good.
Oh, in a chorus line.
Yes.
Yeah,
she's
yeah,
doing.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
doing What I Did for Love.
All right.
Ready?
Okay, yeah.
Go.
Unpause.
Okay. This is one of the stars of a very successful current running Broadway musical. She's from the original cast.
Okay. Still running. Kristen Chenoweth, Idina Menzel.
Nope.
Philippa Sue.
She was opposite Ben Platt.
Oh, Dreyfus?
Yeah.
Laura Dreyfus. I get it.
No.
And there's the timer.
I guess like Jeopardy rules, you would get it because you said her last name.
I have four.
I have six.
No, you don't. You added your two to my four.
I
did.
I got one. I was pretty proud of myself.
That's great.
I have two.
So Brian's out, but...
No!
Our guest wins!
It's
yay!
Golf. It is golf. Lowest score wins.
Oh, of course.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We know.
Oh my God, can we talk about your Disney work now?
Yeah, we can.
Because I'm obsessed with Disney stuff. So do you have to use a different vocabulary when you're choreographing for something that's going to be on the Disney Channel?
I mean, I think you use a different vocabulary for every project. But working, you know, obviously in a huge musical for Disney,
you get to
do a lot of really fun, crazy, big things that you would never be able to do on stage.
Were there some certain things that you're like, could we try this? And thought they were going to say no, and then they said yes?
Totally. I mean, there was like, we were on like a site visit of this one particular location, and it's sort of like an abandoned power plant, and it's so big, and it had holes in the ceiling, so there was like water all over the floor, and I was like, wouldn't it be cool if in the scene someone like broke open a pipe, and it flooded the floor, and then we danced through the water? And we do.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
This is in Zombies 2.
Yes.
Cool.
Which just came out on February 14th.
That's
very
so
exciting.
What a Valentine's Day movie, Zombies
yes.
2
awesome.
Sounds
is
like.
It, so is it on Disney Channel and Disney Plus right now?
Right now it's on Disney Channel. I'm not 100% sure if it's on Plus yet, but I'm sure it will end up there
That's
at
awesome.
Some point. Yeah.
Is there kind of, what did you use to kind of inform that vocabulary?
Well, the story...
I like the word vocabulary.
Yeah, isn't it nice?
Yeah, this is beautiful.
It's a very good word.
Yeah, yeah.
So the story of Zombies 2 is sort of... follows three sort of different groups of characters. So the first group is cheerleaders. So there is a very strong cheer vocabulary that was
sure.
used.
Navarro.
And now that everyone knows cheer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Through the Netflix show.
As an expert in cheer
really
now.
Great. It's
yeah.
so
good.
Good.
So,
so now
good.
We know all about like liberties. And
just
so
everyone knows, Kimberly, Brian, and I, Matt talk each other all the time.
Yes, we do, guys.
Yes, yes, yes. Have you seen the video of Jerry, Matt talking people as they walk into their office building?
No,
it
but
is
that's amazing.
Incredible. It's like some random office building. He's like,
it's
yes,
Netflix.
Shoes. Yes, hair. Loves it.
Yeah.
Kevin,
it's a Netflix building?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense.
But still, it's wonderful.
But I'm still excited about it.
But it's Netflix. It's on Netflix. Anyway.
So the cheerleaders obviously have that vocabulary. And then the zombies are very hip-hop. So they're sort of like a dance crew. They have like a very like
cool.
big like dance crew vibe. And then there's a third group called the werewolves. And they move a bit more like freestyle, like a lot of house, a lot of floor work, a lot of waves, a lot of like kind of like more like based out of like a club kind of vibe,
sure.
as opposed to like a kind of commercial dance crew kind of vibe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was really fun to work on these three very separate vocabularies, and of course then bringing them all together.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, they must all learn from each other, and we are stronger together. And it's just got such an amazing message, and it was such a great project to work on, and it was my first film, and to be. In a Disney film for your first
so
film
killer.
Choreography.
Yeah.
It was just absolutely mind-blowing.
Now, do you have to see Zombies 1 to understand Zombies 2?
I mean, I don't think you have to, but Zombies 1 is amazing. And it's such a great movie, and I highly recommend both of them.
How did you prepare for the added, added element of having the camera be a part of, like, the audience's experience of your choreography?
So in rehearsal, we do a ton of work with the camera.
Uh-huh.
So I have never used my cell phone so much. There's this amazing app called Artemis, and it has all the different lenses.
Whoa.
And you're like in rehearsal, and you actually have to make the dance scenes like as videos, but you have to shoot it and edit it. So you're not just like, you know, you're not just doing like a wide shot and like sending that to the director. Like, yeah. Hey, what do you think? Right. Yeah, you're actually like shooting all the angles and like what's in close up and what's going to be far and like how is the camera going to move?
Wow.
Because everyone has to be on the same page. Like once you get on set, it's so crazy and you know, you're always limited with time and it's so expensive to be on set. So you really have to like prep all of that. So, you know, you really have to think about it when you're prepping your work, like what is going to be in close up, what is going to be wide and like, how is that going to affect the storytelling? And you know, like where can we put the camera, because in certain locations it's actually really hard, you know, because some of the places we shot, like we shot in the woods, like in the real woods at like 2 a.m.
Oh,
and there's not so many places you can take the camera.
Yeah, like, sorry, yeah. There's that tree there.
Yeah.
And you can't really plan for the tree in the rehearsal room.
Yeah.
No, but you know, those kind of things, you have to go out and you have to do the same thing that, you know, that we were doing in the rehearsal room, but we were doing it like in the woods with like random people walking by, you know.
Like, guys, I think there are zombies. Zombies in the woods.
Yeah.
There are zombies too.
Zombies too.
Yeah, right. Let's go back to the stage for a moment. I want to talk K-pop.
Sure.
And I want to talk.
Oh, we're so excited about that one.
And we want to talk
a whole different thing because it's immersive. Okay, go.
Yeah, talk about an immersive experience. Choreographing that, also again taking a totally different vocabulary, pairing it to a totally different experience. I guess we talk a little bit through that and how you approach that. I mean, you've as we're talking now, like you've had such a wealth of experiences and different mediums and types. Like, talk about this one.
Yeah, I mean, K-pop is like a very special project. I've been involved in it for something like 6 years.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was one of the first sort of like theater projects I got involved in many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, K-pop has a very specific look and feel to it.
You mean the show or like the style?
The style of movement, like the way K-pop looks on stage, the way K-pop looks in music videos. Mm-hmm. Like there's a very clean, clear kind of movement that's also like all about formations, really quick formation changes. So I did obviously a lot of research. Like mm-hmm. I love research. So you know, I got really into it. And you know, when I started working on K-pop 6 years ago, most people did not know what K-pop was as a genre.
That's true. Like 6 years ago, I don't think I would have.
Yeah. And now like BTS was at the Grammys, you know, like, it's become so huge. And I think that's, it's a really interesting, challenge because now people know so much more. Mm-hmm. So like we have to be even more clear, you know, in our storytelling so that it reads as authentic. And authenticity is something that's just so important to all of us on that project.
Mm-hmm. And so how did you kind of, in the interactive element of it, how did you maneuver what you were putting in there to kind of advance that aspect of the show?
I mean, luckily, like, in the immersive version of K-pop, whenever there was a performance, the audience was not moving.
Okay.
So I was able to like create those moments.
Keep their focus and specific.
Yeah, exactly. Like all the audience movement happened in the transitions. I think there's like a lot of different ways immersive shows can function.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you say immersive, people tend to think of just like the Sleep No More model where everyone's just like a free for all. We're all like, can go wherever we want, whenever we want. K-pop was much more controlled.
Mm-hmm.
So the audience started all in the same place and then was split and went on different versions of the tour of the K-pop factory and then all kind of reunited at the end.
Sure.
So it wasn't that kind of like audience interaction.
Were there masks?
Yeah.
There were not any masks, but you never know.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so Cruel Intentions.
Mm.
You worked on that at Le Poisson Rouge.
I did.
I guess talk about,
such a cool venue too, to like, do stuff
very
in.
Cool, yeah.
Because it has that like built-in club vibe.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, when you were working on that, I mean, I assume that like, how much did you pull from the original text versus how much did you pull from the movie? How much did you pull then from the recreated text for the project you were actually doing? Kind of, where did the inspiration from that come from?
And what was it like working with the mom from Home Alone? No, not Home Alone. Home Improvement.
Home
That's
Improvement.
She's very funny.
Yes.
You know, the script for Cruel Intentions is very, very close to the movie script, with obviously, you know, the addition of all the music. So it was really like a fusion of the original script and great songs from the 90s. And that, yeah, that...
Just, which also plays really well in that venue. Like, for instance, like the 90s vibe would totally work there.
Well, they do 90s night.
Do they really?
Yeah. Oh, it's really fun. Yeah, you should.
It's super fun. They do, I think, Saturday's 90s night? Friday and Saturday, one of them is 90s night, one of them is 80s night. I forget which one's which. So I love fun. That.
They're both really fun.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, no, it was just like it was a lot of fun to you know work on that. I loved that movie as a kid. It was definitely one of my favorites. And just bringing those like sort of like iconic moments to life was a lot of fun to do. That's so cool. Yeah.
Is there anything from that show that you like are very, very proud of, like an image or something that you were able to put your own spin on something that's pre-existing?
I think like getting to choreograph Bittersweet Symphony, which is like obviously like the song of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
That was just so fun.
That's like, awesome.
Because it's such a dope song. Like it's really dope. And it's not the kind of music that I normally get to choreograph because it's a little more like emotional and like down. Yeah. Like I'm usually on projects with like really celebratory epic dance numbers. Sure. You know? Yeah.
Cool. Have you ever choreographed something in Tuesdays in the Corner with Kevin?
It's Kevin's Corner.
Welcome to Kevin's Corner, where I have a list of funny questions to ask.
Great.
And so we're just going to go through some of these and see what you have to say.
But just to be clear, you typed funny questions to ask into Google.
I did. I literally typed funny questions to ask, and a website came up that was like, lots of funny questions to ask. And wow. So I pulled
Who
that
knew?
Up.
Who knew?
And it is an amazing list. Okay, first question. What is the best Wi-Fi name you've ever seen?
CIA mobile unit.
No way, really?
Yes.
Where?
In my building.
She can't tell you or she has to kill you.
In my building.
Okay.
That's so funny.
What is the most embarrassing thing you have ever worn?
Oh, gosh.
Because if you're a dancer, I'm sure there's lots of dance costumes in that closet.
I mean, all my dance costumes growing up were like sequin leotards. There was one that had like, I remember it so clearly. It had one arm that had like a
fringe.
Tinsel, yeah, but tinsel on it. Just one arm.
Okay, duh, yeah.
You know, why would you use
why
both?
Would you
of course.
Two?
Yeah. But the thing
this
is,
tracks.
Like, looking back, it was horrible. But at the time, I loved it so much that I would, like, draw pictures of myself in it in my notebook.
That's so funny.
Oh, that's so amazing. What would be the worst thing for the government to make illegal?
It's not funny.
That's not funny at all.
No, I know.
Google.
They filmed it.
Like human rights.
Great answer.
Fair.
What do they think they're asking these questions to? Like children who would say like lollipops?
Yeah, I have no idea.
That would be sad.
What movie completely changes its plot when you change one letter in its title?
What movie? Only one letter?
Only one letter. That's why I was like, that's a great question, but what would you say?
Mr. Doubtfire.
Ooh.
Oh.
That is very good.
That totally does change it.
Very good.
That's a good one.
If you change Alien to Ailey, and it's just about a girl named Ailey.
Okay. You know the movie Reds from the 80s? It would be about many people named Eds.
Oh, yeah, Eds. That works.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a lot of Eds in one room.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love when we say that like in the normal conversation, then we turn to her at the same time.
Yeah.
What's your friend say? That just got very culty for a second.
Yeah, right.
What would you like to add?
Yeah.
I'm really bad at, like, coming up with these answers.
What about, what is something that is really popular now, but in 5 years everyone will look back and be embarrassed by it?
Instagram.
That's so true.
Yes.
I feel like all of my gay friends who constantly are just posting pictures of their butts are going to be like, why did I put my butt out on Instagram so much? Like,
exactly.
Their butt is on the internet forever.
Forever. That's right. Yeah. That's going to show up in like random Google searches with this list.
Funny questions to ask. It's just butts.
Last question. What fictional character is amazing in their book, show, or movie, but would be insufferable if you had to deal with them in everyday life?
That's a good question.
Michael Scott from The Office.
That's a spectacular answer.
That's true, because yes. We love to laugh, but like, can you imagine actually living
in...
Yeah.
Oh, no!
Oh my God. And that has been Kevin's Corner.
Yay!
That was so good.
Should we play another game?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
let's play another game.
I thought we could play a little Dirty Hands on a Hard Body.
Awesome.
Which is kind of a rhythm game, but also a categories game. So we'll sort of go in a circle to a category.
Oh God, we're playing a rhythm game with a choreographer. I'm so nervous.
You don't have to dance. You just have to, we will
no,
rock
No, I know.
You
I have to clap
bit.
On beat. I'm so scared.
It's just this. And so on beat, if say the category is colors, we would go red.
Purple.
Blue.
Orange.
Blue.
Oh no, you repeated your
blue.
Can't
really lie. Then you put up one hand, that's your dirty hand. One hand is still down. If you have two dirty hands, you're out. We play till someone wins. If you get out on a round, you get to pick the next category.
And it can be any category. It doesn't have to be
theater related.
Yeah, Kevin, do you want to start?
Sure.
With a category?
Sure. Our category is desserts.
Ooh.
Types of dessert.
My next category would be types of desserts.
Not
big
names,
ones.
Types.
Yeah, not names.
All right, so desserts.
Yeah.
Do I go first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Brownies.
Cannoli.
Tiramisu.
Mochi.
Yeah.
Creme brulee.
Ice cream.
Cake.
Sure. Pie.
Banana pudding.
Ooh.
Oh.
Flambé.
Ooh.
Trifle.
Oh.
Cupcakes.
Oh, God. Candy?
Sure.
Candy for dessert.
Yeah. Berries and whipped cream.
Opera cake.
Okay.
Sorbet.
Ah, that was mine! I'm out. I literally was like, you said berries whipped cream. I was like, I got sorbet in my pocket. But that would be messy, so I don't really have sorbet in my pocket.
That's great. All right, so you pick another one.
I get to pick another category.
Yeah, yeah.
Deserts. Go for deserts.
Not for deserts. We'll all say Sahara and then be out.
No, I got a couple. We can all say like arid types.
Types. Oh my God, get out.
I hate you so much.
Sandy.
Film directors.
Okay.
Oh God, Brian's gonna win this.
You wanna start?
Yes. Taika Waititi.
Okay. Steven Spielberg.
Christopher Nolan?
Yes.
Why is that who I thought of?
That's a good one.
Spike Lee.
Greta Gerwig.
Sure. Scorsese.
Tarantino?
Yeah. The bigger the category, the easier it is to blank.
Yes, yes.
I was just like, I can't think of anyone's name.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Because I was trying to think of Greta Gerwig for so long.
I was trying to think. The next one I was going to say was the director of Wonder Woman, but I couldn't remember.
Patty Jenkins.
Yeah, it was like right there, like
yeah,
the tip of my tongue, but I couldn't get it.
Well, you get to pick a category now.
Great. What should we do, guys?
I don't know. Whatever you want. Literally.
She's like technical choreography vocabulary. Set ball changed.
How about old school dance moves?
Okay.
Yes. You start.
Running Man.
Oh. The Charleston.
Yeah, sure.
That's very old school.
Yeah. The Sprinkler.
The Grocer Cart.
Sure.
Roger Rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The twist.
The hokey pokey.
The Tootsie Roll.
Oh. Six step.
Oh, God, she's good at this. I can't think of anything. I literally could only, I was thinking of LMNOP, which I know is not a dance step, but that was all that was about to come out of my mouth.
Okay.
I don't know why. Okay, so I get to pick a category for you, jabronis.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, so you're out. Okay.
Okay. Let's do, princesses.
I'm sorry.
Names of princesses.
Okay, I'll start.
Real or fictional.
Any.
Oh, okay.
Any kind. Yes.
Sorry.
I'm out.
I know. Diana.
Grace.
Elsa.
Anna.
Belle.
Snow White. No.
Yes, she was. Yes, she was.
Yeah,
she was.
Yeah.
She's in the Disney canon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leia.
Mm.
Very good. Aurora.
Princess.
Yes.
That exists.
All right, we gotta get Brian and Kimberly out now. Okay. So you have a category
have a
for them.
No.
Neither do I. So okay. It's sudden death.
Yeah, let's just
Great.
That's
Pick
fine.
Us a category.
Pick us a category.
Let's do clothing.
I was literally just about to say, how about articles of clothing?
There you go.
That was so ridiculous in all the things. All right, you got articles of clothing, and this is sudden death, so Brian loses.
Brian, who wears shirts, pants.
I have my first two. All right, ready?
Okay, yeah.
Who's starting?
You.
Shirts.
Sweatshirts.
Pants.
Yep.
Sports bras.
Oh, God.
Undershirt.
T-shirt.
Socks.
Leggings.
Sneakers.
Underpants.
Headband.
No.
Yeah.
That's an accessory.
I think that's an article of clothing.
I say keep going.
Okay.
But I like that Kimberly keeps getting
culottes.
Faster.
Culottes. Mm.
Tank top.
Midi skirt.
Khakis with pleats.
Maxi skirt.
Oh. Speedos.
Gaucho pants.
Mm. Bathing trunks.
People call them bathing trunks, not in 1920?
Sure.
Oh, old school.
Kimono.
Oh, nice.
Bathrobe.
Silk robe.
That counts.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have one in my bag.
Yeah. Sandals.
I do, I'm not kidding. Sandals? Shoes count, not accessories? Okay.
I said sneakers.
Jean jacket.
Mmm. Windbreaker.
Oh, that was a good
puffer
one.
Puffer coat.
Oh. Full winter parka.
Full winter parka.
Leather duster.
Oh. Cardigan.
Tank top.
Oh, you already said that.
Did I?
I said it.
You did.
No!
I was waiting for when you go bolero.
Oh,
so Brian loses, Kimberly wins.
Cheers!
Yay!
Wait, what?
Cheers, y'all.
Oh man!
Actually, Jen wins. Yay! Now, so we've talked about how you have worked in like TV and like the film area and stage. Now, when you worked like, for example, with Zombies 2. Were you a part of the like process of like selecting dancers?
Of course.
So
yeah.
Is that always the thing when you like, no matter what the medium is, that the choreographer has like a big say in like
I
which dancers work
so.
With you?
I mean, once in a while, you know, you get on a project and either the cast is already selected.
Because mm-hmm. I know this is Zombies 2, so I didn't know if there were like certain people who like obviously carried over.
There, all the leads carried over, but you know, I cast about 60 dancers.
Wow!
Yeah, it's a really big movie.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah. Was that daunting to like work from like going from stage where you're used to like a like maybe like 10 to 30 person ensemble to suddenly have like double that?
And... It was awesome.
Like, and you.
Yeah, I mean, it was so much fun. You know, the hardest part was like learning everyone's names because
Sure.
That's a lot of names to learn.
Yeah. I don't even know his name.
In some scenes, they do all dance at once. Yeah, in some of the really big scenes.
Blue shirt to the front.
That's kind of what you feel like. But, you know, it's one of my favorite things about, like, you know, being a choreographer is when you get to, like, give people these amazing opportunities to do their art and to share that is just so amazing, you know?
Yeah. That's so cool.
So when you get to do these huge auditions where you're, you know, maybe hundreds and hundreds of people are auditioning, but, you know, this is the kind of job that makes people's life, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe not life, but definitely summer.
You know? Yeah.
Definitely can make your summer.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there so let's say you're sent to a desert island and you're only allowed to bring one show to choreograph.
Mm.
What show are you taking with you?
I think I would bring Rent because it is my absolute favorite.
Yes.
And I would love to choreograph it one day. And I, even if I can't choreograph it, I will still listen to it forever.
Well, yeah. What was your, like, what do you have, what would your...
What would your hot take be on it?
Yeah.
I think I would make it really, really gritty, like to get that vibe of like 90s New York,
sure.
Like when it was super raw.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a huge dance show.
But it could be.
Yeah.
It definitely could be.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's opportunity
I've
there.
Seen what do they call them when they're not professional? Community theater.
Amateur?
I saw a community theater production of Rent where they were casting a bunch of people who auditioned. So they had an entire dance ensemble in Rent. So like every number they had, there were like 6 to 8 people on stage like dancing.
Wait, fun,
and it was actually really cool because the choreographer used the characters around to like kind of mirror what these people were saying. One of the best ones was Without You. They did this like mix of hip hop and contemporary to make it this, it was so cool. It was almost like center stagey.
And sounds like, amazing.
It was super duper interesting. And it was like these, it was a two couples and they were like going through the throes of like being happy and then like hating each other. And it was so cool. So I really think you could make that a dance show.
Definitely, definitely.
Cool. All right.
Cool.
But in all seriousness, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Again, check out on Disney Channel, Zombies 2. Yes. You don't have had to have seen Zombies 1, as I learned.
Yeah. You can jump
but
right
Zombies
in.
Zombies 1 is awesome.
Yeah. And if you're in London or traveling to London, go see Anne and Juliet.
I do so bad.
I know. Me and Kevin should just go on a trip.
Let's just go.
What?
Broadway's a trip. Oh, you can come in my suitcase.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
You can't come to the show, but like you can come to London and stay in my suitcase.
Your suitcase will get lost. You know that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then we'll have like a fun Where's Brian adventure.
Sure.
No.
Anyway, again, you could follow her at Jennifer Weber NYC. Again, 1B in there. You can follow us.
Are you saying that because our musical theater fans are used to like Andrew Lloyd Webber with two B's?
Probably.
We're not related.
Oh, you're not?
Just to be clear.
Okay.
You drop the B to, like, disassociate.
Yeah.
Understood.
It gives her more street cred to only have one B.
Yeah. And you can follow us at Broadwasted. You can find us on social media.
Yeah.
You can go to Facebook and join our Facebook group for some theater nerdy stuff.
Yep.
You can, of course, go to the Broadway Podcast Network to find us.
Yeah, bpn.fm/broadwasted.
Mm-hmm. You can go to Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere where you get your podcast to find us, including iTunes. Go on there, rate and review us there. Five stars, please.
And thank you.
And then, of course, we always end with a quote.
We do?
Yes.
I always forget that.
I still have drink left.
Oh, yeah.
I'm usually empty.
For cheersing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. 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 Oh.
That's my favorite quote you've ever done. Put on the red light.
Also,
put on the red light.
You don't have to. You don't have to. But do it. But do it. But do it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Again,
awesome.
Check out everything she does. Easiest access is probably Zombies 2.
Oh.
We raise our glass.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
And as we end every episode,
Zoo-doo-wop-a.
Cheers.
Cheers. Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.